Are you ready for the entertainment experience of a lifetime? Knockdown, Dragout, hard-hitting conversations, debates, and interviews. Well, if you said yes to any of these questions, sit back, relax, and enjoy something like no other. This is the Isolation Series Podcast, presented by the Scott Robles team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, by WellbeingsPerformance.com for all your online meeting needs, by Barbarian Steakhouse, Canada's premier upscale restaurant. For more information, go to Barbarians.com. By ImprintPilates.com Toronto and the Greater Toronto Area's premier Pilates studio. And by the Toronto Immune and Digestive Health Institute. For more information, go to TIDHI.ca. Here now is your host, Spencer Miller.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 207 of the Isolation Series on this Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. With me, Spencer Miller. Very pleased to be joined, as always, by my co-host and partner in crime, Paul Shields. And Paul, we are very pleased to welcome to the show for the very first time an up-and-coming musician extraordinaire and baseball enthusiast and former baseball player himself, good friend of mine, although I don't like to admit it. His name the one and only TJ Simpson, but you know him best as Silk on all your music platforms. Welcome to the Isolation Series for the first time, my friend.
What's up, my brother? What's up, Paul? Okay. Nice to meet you.
Let's jump right in. Before we get into the music stuff, I would be remiss if I did not start today's episode with the big baseball news coming out of last night. We know that Aaron Judge was making his way toward history, and he hit his home run tying 61st home run last Wednesday in Toronto. Last night, he hit the go-ahead 62nd home run. With all of your years playing in baseball that you did, where do you put this on the pantheon of records? Because obviously it is the first American League individual to break a record like that. And the fact that he did it in a Yankee uniform 61 years after the original one was set by a Yankee himself, where do you put it in perspective?
This day and age, man, with like social media and stuff like that, first of all, it's really good for baseball. Young guy like that, who is becoming a pantheotic, like a huge megastar type of figure, is good for the game. But I'm gonna put this like, I'm gonna put it on the Mount Rushmore of like individual accomplishments in a single season, man. For one, like I said, he did it in a Yankees uniform. I mean, he's got the biggest brand on his back, and he's carrying it, you know, with no problem. You know, the guy is, he's hard to hate. He's not a villain. Shucks, I got a chance to congratulate him after he hit 61, because I was in Toronto, where, you know, with my boy. So we got a chance to congratulate the guy. And he's, you know, he's the sweetest pie, man. Like, he's not a villain. So I'm going to put it right up there with the Maguires. It's as exciting as the Sosa Maguire era where they had, you know, or better known as like maybe the steroid era of baseball. But for him to do it clean like this, I mean, you can't really argue with it, man. Like, you can't really argue with what the guy's doing. So I'm gonna go top two, man.
Hey,
I'm gonna go top two behind Bonds.
Paul, let me ask you this. What does this do? I know that you and I have spoken about this many times on the program in the last several weeks. What does this do for him now that he's broken the record and has it alone leading into the end of the season today for his contract? We know that prior to the season, he turned down $215 million from the Yankees to really bet on himself. Paul, what does this do now to his contract offer or the contract that he's inevitably going to sign this offseason?
I think it makes him a very, very wealthy man. I think you're looking at, you know, if he turned down, you know, 215 as was reported at the beginning of the year, it's got to start with a 300, does it not? At least, if not up more, from there. Yeah, more, like, man. I'm thinking that's my thought. And if you're the Yankees, I think it puts them in a really tough spot. How do you let now your home run king, how do you let him walk away? So I think it gives him all the leverage, you know, in the world. And I think they're going to do well in the playoffs. So I think that it puts a lot more zeros at the end of his contract.
TJ, does this individual end up becoming a Yankee still and continuing his career as a Yankee? Like Paul said, it would be crazy to let him walk away. And we know that the Yankees can spend money and have spent money, no doubt. But can they, quote unquote, afford to put another $300+ million contract for arguably 9 or 10 more years on their books? Or does he go back to Southern California, where he's from, and join an Anaheim Angels team or a Dodgers team? Because we know that they have the money as well.
I don't think the Yankees let him walk away. And I say that in this sense. Y'all are talking $300 million. I'm thinking they're going to start in the fours because Trout, what, you got a $506 million extension or something like that? If I'm Judge, you have to start there because nobody's been more productive than the guy over the last, you know, 2.5 seasons, 3 seasons. For him to bet on himself and do this season, he's handing them a blank check. Now, I don't think he's a guy who is after the money, but if you're doing it by the metrics, you're going to have to pay him $400 million to even entertain him. So I'm not sure if the Yankees can afford that and keep the Yankee well, unless they break it down in the 1 and 2 year spurts, but he's going to take a huge piece of the pie if you pay this guy what he's worth, man. So I honestly don't think he ends up a Yankee, man. I think he ends up somewhere else. I think he ends up on the West Coast somewhere with one of those squads. And dare I say it, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's going to end up in Dodger Blue or not. I would hate that. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad look for him, but it would just be a major loss for the Yankees to let a guy like that go. But I don't think they'll be able to afford him with what they got right now.
And don't you think that that's even more of a reason why they need to re-entertain a salary cap in baseball? Because let's just say he does end up in Dodger Blue, guys. They already have a video game-like lineup already with Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and all of the things that they have over there. You add Aaron Judge there, and it legit is like a dream video game scenario.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's better for baseball with him in a Yankees uniform. It's just like, you know, let's be honest, man. The sport is better when the Yankees are villains, when they're good, when they got the big guys in the middle, you know, 6'7". Judge, 6'5", Stanton, like, it's just better, you know what I mean? So I prefer him to stay there. I just don't know if that's how it'll end up.
Okay, and the last question before we jump into the music is this. You know, we talk about where they need to start, and it's probably going to start at the end of the 300s, beginning of the 400s, just to entertain talking to him, like you mentioned. But I want to throw this out there, Paul. We've seen big contracts signed, but very rarely do we see a big contract benefit a team in terms of the fact that we saw Gerrit Cole sign a huge contract a couple of years ago. He's been good, but not up to the level of his contract, arguably. We saw after Giancarlo Stanton himself got very close to 60 home runs a few years ago as a Miami Marlin, he signed a giant contract and has been injured quite a lot of the time. I'm not saying that that is going to be the case here, but we do know that Aaron Judge has had a history of injury problems throughout his fairly young career up until the last couple of seasons. So if you are a team, even though you do need to come out with this astronomical number to entertain talking to him, are you cautious of what you're going to get once you sign him based not only on his history, but the history of signing giant contracts?
I don't know. I think if you look back at the big contracts that are signed, it's probably pretty even. it's probably a lot of really good players that signed really big tickets who have delivered, you know, and delivered when it mattered. You know, you think you look at something like the Blue Jays this season, that George Springer signing, you know, he's been injured and this and that, but when the games mattered, he's been their best player in a lot of those, in a lot of important moments. And now they're going to reap the benefits of home playoff baseball, large part and thanks to his efforts. So I would say it's probably more balance. And honestly, if I'm a GM, I'm not worried about the Aaron Judge 10 years from now. I'm worried about the Judge that I'm going to get for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons, who's going to bash me 40 home runs and who's going to just be a monster on my team. So I don't know. And for me, that's why I think salary caps make sports somewhat boring. Like, who cares? Let these crazy owners and GMs spend all the money they want, get the players out on the field playing for the most money. I don't begrudge them a single cent. I want them to make every dime. And much like TJ said, I'd love to see him stay as a Yankee, even as a Blue Jay fan. I, you know, it's easy to root against the Yankees. And, you know, even though he's not a villain, it's better for him to be on the bad guy's side.
Are you of the same mindset there, TJ?
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's kind of like it makes sports what it is. It's like guys are redefining their value, because how can you value a guy like Aaron Judge? You can get the money back. You can increase Yankee tickets by $50, man. It's still gonna be a sold out crowd with that guy in the lineup. He's gonna make it back. You know, it's just like Lamar Jackson this year. Like, the guy is, how can you put a, you can't value that guy enough. He's putting people in the seat. And Aaron Judge is on the biggest market team almost known to man. You know, it's better for him to stay there, I feel like.
How can we even put Lamar Jackson in the same conversation right now? Because the only thing that Lamar Jackson's been good for through 4 weeks of the NFL season is giving up 21-point leads.
That's fine, but you know what? He bet it on himself. And on paper, when you go to the chopping block, or when you go to the negotiation, he's like top five in every major quarterback category. So he's going to be able to hand him a blank check. That's just what it is. He's exciting, man. Aaron Judge is exciting. And you know, as a baseball fan, not as a Yankees fan, as a baseball fan, you know, and a Jackie Bradley Jr. fan, it's just better when that guy's on the Yankees, man. Because even though, like Paul said, he's not the villain, it's just better when he's there. The bad boys are coming to town, and if he's a part of it, I'm watching it. So pay him whatever he wants.
He's like the lead stormtrooper, as it were.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch from baseball to music. You have been really, really working hard on your music with, you know, singles like Labels and a few others that you got in the mix right now. Let me ask you this question. As an individual that has been working hard most recently on your music, trying to break through with your music, what do you make of the music landscape nowadays with all of the streaming platforms and being able to really, you know, gain popularity and gain fans through the streaming platforms and through your quote-unquote non-traditional ways that people used to do, whether it be CDs or radio play or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a great question, just because, like, the old school guys would say their way is the real way. But now, you know, being in this generation, it seems like it will be easier, but it's just oversaturated, man. It's, you know, it's 12, 13, 15, 20 different platforms now where people are doing stuff off of, and you're just attracting different types of people that like different things. So they're promoting music that, you know, may not sound like mine. You know, they're creating completely different genres of music, and a 13-year-old kid can be famous next week, you know, because he made a reenactment of the Sesame Street song. So, like, it's harder for artists that are, you know, to have more substance to get exposure that way. But it is we are blessed with the amount of platforms that we get, and the amount of exposure we get to certain people. It's just like, you know, we don't want to dig into algorithms and stuff like that either, but you got to play the game. So it's a blessing and a curse, to be honest with you. It's about knowing the right people at the end of the day.
Okay, and what do you want to do with your music? Because obviously, you know, everybody wants to get their music out there and wants to get that fan base and wants to get the racks, yeah, that kids say these days, and different things. But because, you know, you've been getting a lot of positive feedback from a lot of different people as you've started your music journey and getting your music out there on the different platforms, like we said, what do you ultimately want your music to represent?
Honestly, man, I write music and perform music for people who go through real life situations. You know, life right now is so fabricated. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. Like, I write music and do music for real people going through real situations. You know, like, every song that I write is derived from an emotional place that I've been to at one point or another. And I want to bring that back. You know, like, 90s music, I feel like, was great because, like, even though it was raw, it was raw. Like, you know, Tupac was like, he'll be a villain in some people's eyes, but like, he never really lied about anything that he did. If you follow his story, like, I want to bring that back, man. Like, fabrication in music and entertainment is just overtaking what's real right now. You know, I just want to touch people who are real, you know, who go through real life situations. Like, somebody that says, like, hey, man, labels got me through my divorce. Like, I've had that happen. Like, I've had people say, hey, man, Be Alone has gotten me through depression. Like, that's my goal, man, to encourage and empower people through my words. So,
yeah. And Paul, I know that you are big into music, and that's one of your passions as well, and has been since we've known each other since high school and things like that. So I'm going to throw it over to you now to ask TJ a couple of music related questions, if you like.
Yeah. So for your creative process, TJ, where does it start? Like, where you talked about being real. Are you bouncing ideas off of collaborators? Is it all coming from you? How are you getting to what we end up hearing when we hear songs like Labels?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, man, like, Labels was a direct result of a girl I used to talk to who we were really good friends, really close. She wanted a relationship title. I didn't want to give it to her at that point. I was younger. I was moving around a lot. I was playing baseball. I was traveling. And she left and ended up with another guy some months later. And I saw it, literally tore my heart out. I freestyled the song in the car looking at her with the other guy. So all of my songs are derived directly from situations like that. So, you know, when you hear some of my stuff, at some point or another, the original idea or the foundation of the song derives directly from an experience that I've had emotionally. So I generally don't bounce ideas off other people. You know, like, the song and music kind of finds me. I don't really, it's harder for me to write if I got to go say, hey, I got to write a song today. Like, it'll just happen to me. It'll just happen for me. And like, I want people to be able to hear that when they can say, like, yo, I felt that. Like, generally, you can't feel that if somebody's just like, hey, Paul, go write me a song about love, man. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, like, something has to happen. Like, you're gonna come from real emotional and a real emotional place if it's about something that really happened to you. So that's where it comes from.
And Spence, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask one more. You know, going from being a baseball player where people know you as an athlete to being an artist, a musician, and people starting to get a peek behind the curtain for you, you know, giving you real emotion, showing real stories. How was that transition for you, and how are you handling it?
It was, that's a great question, because it was kind of weird, man, you know, because like, people are not going to take you serious at first because they know you as, you know, an athlete, especially if you were pretty good at your sport and that's just the viewpoint that you were looked at as. But like, now I think the majority of the people that I know don't even know my real name. They know my artist name. They know Silk. So like, everything has shifted over now. So that transition has been, it was a little different at first, because you got to show them consistency. Like, hey, this guy's really doing it. Like, you know, he's not just playing around. And then once you get a couple of recognition, you go viral a couple of times, it's like, whoa, like, he's actually good. Or we actually think that he can do X, Y, and Z. So the perception was definitely a little rocky at first, but now, like, everybody sees me as an artist now, you know, The baseball thing is an afterthought. So whenever it's gonna be people that hear this interview like, oh, I didn't even know he played baseball. Yeah, man, it was different at first, but now it's I'm just Silk now at this point. So yeah, I'll accept.
People wouldn't be able to tell that you were doing your baseball at the high level that you were doing it at just by looking at the shape you're in currently, too. Give you like 2 or 3 weeks and maybe we could talk about the baseball a little bit, but not right now.
Gosh, but I'm bloated, man. I was bloated, dude. I was eating hot dogs all day at the Blue Jays game. Just relax, man. I'm fine.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll get out of here on these two things. Number one, where can people find your music? Where can people grab your music? When do you anticipate the album dropping so that people know when to get the full Silk experience?
Yeah, so I'm on all platforms right now. I have about six songs out right now currently. Obviously, I'm dropping a tape here. It's anticipated to be dropping at the end of November based on the promotions that I have coming from, you know, hopefully some influencers with some things that we got going on. So we're gonna try to roll it out the right way. But I'm on Apple Music at Silk, S-I-L-K-K. And you can just type in Silk Labels, so S-I-L-K-K, and the song Labels, L-A-B-E-L-S, and all my whole track list of songs will pop up there. So generally, that's where most people find me at. But it's the same thing on Spotify, same thing on
Instagram.
My Instagram is actually Silk, S-I-L-K-K, underscore Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N. That's generally where I will post most of my content.
Okay, good. And we get all of our first time guests out of here the same way. So I'm going to do that with you right now. And you and I are good friends and, you know, close friends at this point now. Do you have a Spence moment or something about our friendship that you would like to share with the viewing and listening audience? Because obviously it's one thing coming from me. It's a whole other thing coming from the other side. And I know that we do a lot of things and we talk about a lot of things and stuff like that. So would you like to share anything with the audience of the Isolation series right now?
Yeah, man. I would. I'm going to say something that everybody probably already knows, but I've known Spence not too long here. But when somebody's genuine, you can feel it, you know what I mean? And Spence, it's definitely one of the few people in the history of the world who says he's going to do something and actually does it. Like, you know, and it's not even like, all right, man, I'll call you back tomorrow. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And it's going to be done in 10 minutes. Like it is a very direct, genuine spirit, man. So, in front of Paul, in front of everybody who's listening, love you, brother. I appreciate you being, you know, your support and you being caring. And please never change for anybody. And I'm bloated, man. I'm not out of shape.
Okay. And I will say that a song that you and I are eventually going to put out too, that we talked about the other day, is one called Connect the Prejudice. And that has quite the story behind it, too. So I'm looking forward to eventually working on that as well, because I think that'll happen very quickly once we start working on it. But we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us here today on the Isolation series for episode 207 on October 5th, 2022. And we look forward to having you on again in the not too distant future, by the end of November, when the mixtape track and set of tracks drops, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, man. Thank you all so much. Appreciate you, Paul. Nice meeting you, brother. And I hope to be back soon, guys.
Absolutely. Awesome. That is the one and only TJ Simpson, aka Silk. And this has been episode 207 of the Isolation series with me, Spencer Miller, and my co-host, Paul Shields. We look forward to coming at you again tomorrow with another fantastic episode. But for Paul and for TJ, I'm the better looking one out of the three of us, Spence. This is the Isolation series. Bye-bye.
And Paul, please tell people
all about some more whole grain goodness that is us.
Folks, be sure to check us out on podbean.com by going to the isolationseries.podbean.com. There you'll find the audio-only versions of the podcast, including all of our past amazing interviews. One more time, that's the isolationseries.podbean.com. And hey, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. It's at @thespencermiller and at Pauly Shields, Pauly spelled P-A-W-L-Y. So find us on podbean.com, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
And once again, everybody, thank you for watching and or listening and supporting this thing we like to call the Isolation Series. For Paul Shields, I am Spencer Miller, and we will see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.